This morning we are finishing our summer series called The Fruit of the Spirit, where we have been talking about a list of character traits that the Apostle Paul says are a product of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. In Galatians chapter 5, we read this. Paul says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Now, like we've said every week, these character traits are traits that every single one of us can display in our own lives. And if you would ask the people that we have to live with, they would probably say that we should display these a little bit more in our lives. And the Bible says that when it comes to these specific character traits, although we can exhibit them on our own, there is a difference in them and in us when the Holy Spirit gets involved. The Bible teaches that with the power of the Holy Spirit, these character traits begin to show up in ways in our lives that we could not display on our own. When the Holy Spirit gets involved, our lives begin to change. And Christianity talks about change very differently than most other religions. Most other religions say something like, you need to change before God will accept you. You need to change your life and your habits and your lifestyle, and once you clean yourself up, then God will accept you. But Christianity says that God accepts everyone as they are, but he doesn't leave them that way. We've said this every week. The Bible teaches that as soon as you put your faith in Jesus, no matter what your life looks like, your sins are forgiven and you are accepted by God because of what Jesus has done for you on the cross. But God doesn't stop there. God loves us too much to leave us the way that he found us, so God made a promise not just to save us, but to change us as well. And the way that God fulfilled this promise is that he sent his Holy Spirit, the same Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead, to live in you and in me, changing us into something new. And one of the ways that we can know that the Holy Spirit is busy changing us is by the fruit of the Spirit. When we begin to see these 9 character traits appear in our lives, it is the evidence of God's activity. Now this morning, like we have done every week in this series, we are going to look at one last character trait on this list. And the trait that we're going to look at today is peace. Now, what we have done often in this series is take a look at our popular understanding and experience of these traits, and then compare them to how the Bible says we can experience those traits differently with the help of the Holy Spirit. So here is a definition that represents how, in our world, we have come to understand peace. Peace is freedom from anxiety, annoyance, or other disturbance. Now, I'm sure that every one of us would love to have some freedom from some of the disturbances in our lives. A disturbance, a definition of a disturbance is an interruption from a pleasant condition. Things are comfortable in your life, and then all of a sudden something changes and messes everything up. That's a disturbance. Parents, you are probably well acquainted with disturbances. You finally get one quiet moment to yourself, and you are enjoying your quiet moment, and then it suddenly dawns on you that now that you're a parent, quiet moments are a bad thing. Because when the kids are being quiet, it means they're doing something disturbing, like getting into the flower or playing in the toilet. Peace is freedom from disturbances. Now, peace is also freedom from annoyances. And especially after last week, we would all love to be free from some of the annoying people in our lives, right? The same people that test our patience are the ones that often disturb us and annoy us and take away our peace. But the thing about annoyances and disturbances is that those things happen all around us. But anxiety is different. Being anxious happens within us, not around us. Isn't that true? When we began this series, the question that we attached to this character trait of peace was this: how anxious do you get over the details of your life? My answer to this question is yes. I get all kinds of anxious over the details of my life. And sure, freedom from disturbances and annoyances would be nice, but in my life, if I could get some freedom from anxiety, then that kind of peace would really make a difference. The definition of anxiety proves this. Anxiety is a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about something with an uncertain outcome. Does this definition describe anybody here? It's no secret that I am a worrier. I can get worked up and anxious over just about anything. Even as a kid, I could do this. I remember as a kid watching the show Unsolved Mysteries. You remember that show with the creepy theme music? The show was always about UFO sightings or missing person cases that never got solved. And as a kid, this show freaked me out, but I would watch it anyways. And then I would lay in my bed at night, and every noise, every tap on the window, every creak of the house would make me worry. It would make me nervous. It would make me anxious that somehow I was going to end up on the next episode of Unsolved Mysteries. So what about you? Do you have it like this? How anxious do you get over the details of your life? Now, we're not kids anymore. So nowadays, for you and for me, the things that we worry about and the things that we get anxious over, they don't come from TV shows. But this definition nails it, at least in my life, when it says that the things that make us anxious now typically come from the uncertain outcomes of life. The things that cause us the most worry and the things that we get the most nervous about and the things that make us most uneasy are the things with the most uncertain outcomes. Maybe for you, you are anxious wondering, how are we going to pay this bill? When am I going to find a job? Am I ever going to get married? Is this treatment going to work? Is our relationship going to make it? These are the kinds of uncertain things that cause us to be anxious and worried, aren't they? These are the things that keep us from peace in our lives. And though your worries and my worries might be different, what is probably true for every single one of us is this: anxiety shows up the most when I am least in control. Isn't that true? That we are the most anxious when we are the least in control. If you would survey the things that cause you to be the most anxious, they are probably the things that you have the least control over. And you know this because if you're anything like me, then you've already put a ton of time and energy and emotion into trying to control that outcome, but you couldn't do it and it didn't work and you are not in control and that outcome is now uncertain. So now what I do is I put that same amount of time and energy and emotion that I used to try to control the situation. Now I pour all of that into being anxious. And being anxious isn't fun. And it definitely isn't productive. Being anxious doesn't ever seem to accomplish anything positive in our lives, does it? Instead, the opposite is true. Being anxious actually has a negative impact on our lives. Sometimes, when I have to get up early in the morning for something important, something that I can't be late for, something that I need to be prepared for, what I do is I'll go to bed early the night before so that I'm nice and rested for this thing that I need to be ready for. And then I'll make sure that I set like 10 alarms on my phone because I'm so worried about missing this important thing that I might oversleep. And even though I went to bed early and left plenty of time to be rested for this important thing, because I was anxious about oversleeping, I toss and turn all night, I wake up every single hour, and I have a series of mini nightmares where I oversleep and miss the whole thing. Do you ever do this? And then the next morning, when I wake up, I'm exhausted, and I am not ready or rested for this important thing. Being anxious and worrying affects us. Maybe you've heard the famous quote from Corrie Ten Boom, worrying doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrows, it empties today of its strength. We spend so much time and energy and emotion being anxious about the future that it robs us from peace in the present. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us something about being anxious that we've all probably learned to be true from our own experience. He says, "And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan?" Being anxious might be the thing that we do the most that actually produces the least in our lives. Think about this. There has never been an uncertain outcome in your life that changed simply because you started to worry about it. And not only does anxiety affect us, but it begins to affect the other parts of our lives as well, and it definitely affects our peace. So how do we deal with anxiety? How do we handle those uncertain outcomes in our lives that we spend so much time worrying about? Well, for many people, we handle it like this. We detach and we distract. When we recognize that worry is taking over our lives, we detach ourselves from it. We tell ourselves, just stop thinking about it. Whatever that uncertain thing is in your life that you're worrying about, just stop thinking about it and detach yourself from it. And one of the ways that we try to detach ourselves from it is by distracting ourselves. We find something else to do, someplace else to go, something else to think about, and it doesn't really matter what it is as long as you are distracted from the uncertain thing that is causing you to worry. Do you ever try this in your life? To distract yourself and detach yourself from your problems? Now, doing this isn't wrong, but the problem with detaching and distracting is that sometimes this can create even bigger problems in our lives. Sometimes in order to get away from our problems for a little while, we choose to do things that are even less productive than our worry. Now, I could list a whole bunch of things that we do to get away from our problems that aren't good, but you probably already know what yours is. And the truth is that detaching and distracting ourselves from the uncertain parts of our lives that cause us to be anxious, that will never bring us real peace. Peace is being freed from the anxiety that the uncertain things cause you. Detachment and distraction don't make you free. They just help you to flee for a little while. The uncertain things in your life are still there. You just found a way to avoid them for a time. Isn't that true? But God made a promise, not just to save us, but to change us as well. And one of the ways that God wants to change us is to grow a kind of peace in us that doesn't avoid the uncertain things in our lives, a kind of peace that doesn't detach and distract ourselves from them. But the Holy Spirit wants to grow in us the kind of peace that allows us to face those uncertain things head on and at the same time be freed from the anxiety that they bring. Now, the passage that we are going to look at about peace this morning is found in the book of Philippians chapter 4. And here is how it starts. Paul writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, in the beginning of this passage, Paul gives the command. He says, "Do not be anxious." To which we all say, "This guy. Whatever, Paul." Being anxious isn't a switch. If we could just turn it off, Paul, don't you think we would have done that already? Because nobody likes to be anxious, Paul. If we could simply stop being anxious, then we would. So here, Paul isn't simply telling us to turn our anxiety off. And Paul is also not saying, when he says do not be anxious, he is not implying that being anxious is wrong. All throughout the Bible, we see all kinds of people who get anxious about the uncertainties of their lives. And Peter says, "Cast all your anxiety on him, God, because he cares for you." Now notice here, Peter doesn't say if you are anxious. No, Peter talks about anxiety as if it's a given. Like every single one of us is going to be anxious in moments of our lives, especially about the uncertain parts. And when anxiety comes, Peter says, "Cast that anxiety on God because God cares for you." So when Paul says, "Do not be anxious," he is not saying that it's wrong to be anxious. What he is saying is that it is not good to stay anxious. Paul is saying that since anxiety and peace don't coexist, you need to move from your present state of anxiety towards peace. And the way in which you do that is by casting those things that you are anxious about onto God in prayer. Do you see that in the verse? Now, this advice might not seem helpful at first because we all probably do this already. Pray about the things that we're anxious about. In my life, as soon as I lose control of something and I can't get it back, the very next thing that I find myself doing is praying. I bet for many of us, if we would survey our prayers, the majority of the stuff that we pray about has to do with the uncertain things in our lives that we are anxious about. When those things show up, we automatically go to God in prayer. So if Paul's big answer to all of this is to pray, then thanks for nothing, Paul, because I already do this, and the circumstances in my life haven't changed yet. Well, maybe we should ask another question. How are you praying? Because if you're anything like me, a lot of my prayers, especially about the anxious parts of my life, they sound something like this. Dear God, make this stop. Amen. Precious Jesus, get me out of this. Amen. Almighty Father, what in the world are you waiting for? This word supplication in here, it means requests. And sometimes my requests sound a lot more like commands. I say, God, I know you're busy, so I put together a little plan for how I think things should go. I have charts and diagrams and spreadsheets. Lord Jesus, I've done most of the legwork for you. All you need to do is give it your stamp of approval, and then we'll be good. Do you ever pray like that? That even though the circumstances in our lives are out of our control, we pray about it like we are in control somehow, like we are offering advice to God. Don't we do this, or is this just me? Awesome, just me. But here's how Paul says that we're supposed to pray about the anxious moments in our lives. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now here's what I want us to notice. I want us to see the order in which Paul talks about prayer here. Paul says that we are supposed to pray with thanksgiving. Do you see that clause in there? Now notice how Paul says to pray with thanksgiving without any mention whatsoever of an answer to prayer. I mean, Paul says that we are supposed to thank God before we're even done with the request. Do you see that? Now that is not how I do it. That is not how I'm used to praying. I'm used to praying like this. I go to God and I give him my list of requests. Amen. And then I wait until I get an answer, and then if I like the answer that I get, then I will thank him. Isn't that how we pray? We thank after we get an answer, and usually we give thanks when we get the answer that we wanted to get in the first place. But Paul says that when we pray, we need to thank first. We need to thank God even before we get the answer. Do you see that in there? Now that's different, isn't it? What does this mean? What is Paul talking about? How are we supposed to thank before we even get the answer? Well, a couple verses later here, Paul says this. He says, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Now notice a couple things that Paul is saying here. He says that he has learned. Now learning means that it didn't come naturally. Learning means that it took some time. Learning means that it took some practice, and it took some work, and it took some experience. That is what learning means. And Paul says eventually what he learned was he learned how to face every kind of circumstance. The good circumstances, the bad circumstances, the uncertain circumstances, the anxious circumstances. Paul said that he learned how to face them rather than avoid them. And not only did he learn how to face these anxious circumstances, he said he learned how to be content while he was facing them. Do you see that? Now, being content sounds a whole lot like peace, doesn't it? And Paul says here that he has learned how to be content, how to have peace in every circumstance, even the uncertain ones that make us anxious. Now, in the world that you and I live in, we have learned something different about being content and having peace. Our world has taught us that the only way that you can be content and have peace is during favorable circumstances and controlled outcomes. Our world says that you can be peaceful and content as long as things are going well in your life and your future is under control. But as soon as you lose either one of these, our world has taught us to hit the panic button and say goodbye to peace. Isn't that what we have learned from the world around us? But Paul says, wait a minute, I have learned something different. Paul says, I have learned the secret to having peace in the middle of facing uncertain outcomes and unfavorable circumstances. I have learned the secret to facing those anxious moments about the future and still be at peace. So what is the secret? Paul, tell us. Here is what Paul says in the very next verse. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the secret that Paul learned about how to have peace while facing the uncertain circumstances, even the scary, anxious ones. Now, I like this verse. We put this verse all over the place. But when it comes to my specific uncertain circumstances, the one that I get really anxious about, what I wish this verse said was something like this. I can do all things through him who gets me out of this jam. I wish it said that. I wish it would say, I can do all things through him who gets rid of all of the hard parts of my life. I really wish that it said that. I also would like to say, I can do all things through him who tells me exactly how this is going to turn out. That would be great if that's what this verse said. But this verse doesn't say any of those things. In fact, this verse doesn't say anything whatsoever about what God is going to do regarding the circumstances that are going on in your life or mine. This verse only talks about what God is going to do in us in the middle of those circumstances. Do you see that? It says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Paul says, in the middle of the hard circumstances, I have learned that God is going to change me from weak to strong, from worried to confident, from anxious to peace. This verse is all about what God is going to do to you, not what God is going to do to your circumstances. Here's a phrase that summarizes everything that Paul has said. Now, you have heard me say this phrase before many times, and I promise you, you are going to hear me say this again and again and again because it's true, and I need to be reminded of this all the time. Here is the phrase. Even if God doesn't change my circumstance, he will change me in my circumstance. Will you say that with me? Even if God doesn't change my circumstance, he will change me in my circumstance. Now, somebody needed to hear this today because you're up against something uncertain that is causing you all kinds of anxiety. And you've prayed and prayed and prayed for God to change your circumstances. And who knows, maybe he still will. Keep praying for it. God says that we are to cast all of our anxieties on him because he cares for us. But when you pray, now you can pray differently. Because now you know that even if God doesn't change your circumstance, he has promised that he's going to change you in your circumstance. And for that reason, you can thank him long before you even know how this circumstance is going to end, how this prayer is going to be answered. One of the things that I've said every week in this series is that God has promised not just to save us, but to change us as well. And one of the ways that God wants to change us is by growing peace in us. The kind of peace that the Holy Spirit is growing in us is different than the peace that we experience in the world around us, because this fruit of the Spirit kind of peace can grow even in the hardest places. Now, the other day I was walking down a sidewalk and I stopped to look at a flower. Now, I'm not the kind of guy that looks at flowers. Flowers don't do anything for me. But the reason that I stopped and looked at this particular flower is because it was growing out of the middle of the sidewalk. And it caught my attention because I thought, how in the world is that possible? I think that's what Paul means when he says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. The Holy Spirit wants to grow peace in the hard parts of your life. And it's so different and so unique that it surpasses what we all understand about peace. People will look at your circumstances, and then they will look at your life, and they will wonder, how in the world is that possible? How in the world are they holding it together right now? How in the world are they not panicked right now? How are they able to be like that in the middle of what they are going through? I don't understand that. And then when they see this and they ask, you get a chance to be an ambassador for God. And you say, do you really want to know why I have peace right now? Because you might not like my answer. But I have learned that even in the things that are out of control in my life, they are never out of control of my God. I have learned that not only is my God in control, but my God is also in my corner. So I have learned that even if God won't change this, he will surely change me to get through this. That's where my peace comes from. Do you see that here in this verse? So here's a summary of this passage. Whenever you are anxious over any and everything in your life, you can pray with thanksgiving, knowing that even if God doesn't change your circumstance, he will change you to get through this circumstance. And one of the products of that change is the fruit of peace. A peace so different that it can grow in places that defies our understanding. And then at the very end of this verse, Paul shows us something very specific that the peace of God is going to do in our lives. He says that the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now this word guard, it's a military word. It paints a picture of a city being surrounded by an army in protection. So Paul says that when things in your life are out of control and you're getting anxious, God's peace is going to be on guard, specifically guarding your heart and your mind. Now, why do our hearts and our minds need to be guarded? Why did he add this? I don't know about you, but when things in my life get out of control, I turn into worst case scenario Dusty. It's like an opposite of a superhero. When I start to worry, when I start to get anxious, my mind immediately jumps into all of the worst possible scenarios. All of the what ifs and what abouts, all of those things. Do you ever do this? And then what you've learned is as soon as your mind goes there, then your attitude goes there as well. And then not far behind it is your emotions and then your feelings. And shortly after that, your heart goes there as well. And when your heart goes there, you start to believe some things that aren't true. Things that aren't true about you, things that aren't true about your circumstance, and things that aren't true about your relationship with God. But the same spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is growing a peace in you that will guard your heart and your mind. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit is going to do, he's going to do it by reminding us about Jesus. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, do not be anxious about your life. And then Jesus says, look at the birds of the air, look at the flowers of the field. Do you see how God provides for them? How much more will he provide for you? Jesus says, do not be anxious about your life. And then he says, earthly parents know how to care for their children. How much more does your heavenly Father know how to care for you? God loves you and cares for you so much that he was willing to sacrifice his son Jesus to save you from your sin. And if he was willing to do that for you, how much more do you think he is willing to do for you now in the uncertain circumstances of your life? Paul says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things? 3 days after Jesus died on the cross, when he was raised back to life again, it became apparent to everyone that God can do everything that he says he will do. And one of the things that God promises to do is to grow peace in our lives, even in those moments that cause us to be anxious. Do you see that? Even if God doesn't change my circumstance, he has promised that he will change us in the middle of the circumstances. And one of the ways he will do that is by growing the fruit of the Spirit, specifically the fruit of peace. Do you believe that this morning? Let me pray for us. God, we thank you that you loved us so much that you did what we could not. You sent Jesus to be the sacrifice for our sin. And God, we thank you that even in that, despite what we've done, that you didn't turn your back on us. You didn't give us what we deserved, but you gave us grace, you gave us mercy, and you gave us Jesus. And God, we thank you for that, but we thank you that you loved us so much that you wouldn't leave us the way that you found us, that you are going to change us into something different. And God, I pray that it would dawn on us that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same one living in us that is changing us and growing in us these character traits. God, I pray specifically this week that you would grow peace in us, especially for those who are up against uncertain outcomes and anxious moments. God, I pray that you would remind them through your verse here in Philippians that you will never leave us, that you are working our good even when we can't understand it. So God, I pray that you would give them the ability to thank even when they request, knowing that you will come through, that one day we will look back and see how you have been involved every step of the way. But until then, God, I pray that you would give us peace, and specifically I pray that you would guard our minds and our hearts, that we would know the truth and believe the truth and not give in to the lies and the what-ifs. God, we thank you for who you are and what you've done. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.